A note of explanation for those of you who are our guest today. I want to tell you, and I want to tell the church, I have never preached this sermon or anything similar to it before in my 60 years of ministry. Almost 60. But and let me tell you, I do not intend for it to be in any way an offense. If it is, it is. Because it is and has been a burning conviction on my heart for several months now. But before the sermon, we messed up, church. There was a parade Saturday that hardly let me get through town. Did y'all know that? Big parade in town yesterday. I was trying to come over here, and I went all over. I got acquainted with Huntington trying to get over here. And I found out it was a veterans parade. Am I right in that? We messed up. Am I? Humble but very accurate opinion. If there's any parade we ought to have been involved in, it would have been the Veterans Parade. If you're here today and you're a veteran of any branch of the United States military, or you may be an active military participant now, and you may have been in service so long ago that you forgot, but would you stand, please? There are more than that here. Come on now. Come on, guys. All right. All right. There you go. I want to tell you, we appreciate you. We are indebted to you. I just try my best not to let. A guy says he's wearing a hat. And if he said he was a Civil War veteran, I'd say, thank you, sir. But if he's wearing a hat, there's any other indicators, especially if he's wearing a uniform, I explicitly express to him my appreciation. We are, listen to me, we are a free country today. Only because the hand of God has kept us free and the military of this nation has paid a supreme price. Many, many have. Many in my family, some in my family have. We are indebted. Chapter 13 in the book of Romans. Now, I've already gave you a disclaimer. I do not intend to insult or offend anyone. At the same time, I am keenly aware that some of what I will say today, if you take it in any other spirit other than in which it is said in, it will offend you. That is not my intent. But I think we are at the place that we must take seriously our obligation as citizens of the United States of America, as children of God. I really believe that as children of God, we are under obligation. We have been placed there. And I think this will tell us today, this chapter, the whole chapter of the book of Romans. Now, would you stand as we read together? You follow me. I'm reading in the New King James Version. You read in any other, anyone you read in will tell you more than you're putting into practice in your life. Listen, read with me. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinances of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Pay attention, folk. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil works. Do you want good works? Sorry. But to evil works. Do you want to be unafraid of an authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the saint. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. Now, by the way, that sword speaks of, and it's a language, terror. The government can be terror, okay, if it is handled wrong. For God, he is God's minister to you for good, verse 4, but if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Verse 5, therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also, listen carefully, for conscience' sake. And therein have I been laboring for several weeks, for conscience' sake. For because, verse 6, because of this you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continue to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs are due, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And now the vernacular changes altogether into a different area. Love your neighbor. Owe no man, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there are any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does not harm a neighbor, does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Now, the vernacular subject changes again. To what you put on, well, I got it backwards, to what you put off, and then what you put on. Verse 11, and do this, knowing the time that is now, it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness or in lust, not in strife or in envy, but put on the Lord Jesus, and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Father God, in the name of Jesus, a name that indeed is above every name, a name to which we know, either here on planet earth or in the judgment seats of Almighty God, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. In that name, we come before you, and I ask one special favor, Father, and that is that the Holy Spirit of the Lord God will give me boldness and will speak boldly through my tongue. May we hear what you have to say today, and may we obey the Word of God. This is our prayer. You know every heart. You know every mind. You know those who have absolutely no interest in this sermon, and you know those who are deeply engrossed in it. Do that which only the Holy Spirit of the living God can do, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Now be seated, please. In my conviction, and I think most of yours, we face, as a nation, those critical times we have probably ever faced since the Civil War. We are facing the most critical election I think this nation has ever faced. let me quote someone famous so that maybe there will be some authority to other, and the Word of God should be enough. But Billy Graham in 1974 did a crusade in London, England. And he came back and he said this, after studying that great country from which we came, he said, America is doomed to follow after a country that has walked blindly into atheism if revival doesn't come. There have been several times, places, where revival began. The one closest to here would be the Asbury Revival in the 70s, early 70s in Asbury, Kentucky at the college there. There have been several attempts. That is, I really believe these are God's attempts at bringing revival, but a revival has not swept this country, and I pray that it shall. But we must deal with what is at hand. On Tuesday, you will go to the polls and you'll vote. We must do that as God's children. We must do that. And we'll go to the polls and vote. This nation will go to the polls and vote. Now, I'm going to make a statement. Hang on to your seatbelt. Please don't jump up and walk out. And above everything else, don't throw hymn books at me. But listen, I have absolutely no confidence at all in Donald Trump being able to solve the crises that this nation is in. I have absolutely no confidence in the Republican Party being able to solve the problems that this country faces and is in. I have no confidence in Hillary Clinton. I don't think she can do it. I don't think the Democratic Party can do it. In fact, there is only, in my opinion, there's only one hope. And if our faith is not centered there, and if we're not on our face before Him, crying out for mercy for a nation, God is our only hope. I believe that. We can't, listen, folks, we're at a place, our debt is so large, we are unable to pay the interest on what we owe. And we've been chained to a world trade market that is controlled by China because of our debt. You got that? Now listen. What they talk about today, and you know, here's the byword. What is the byword? No, I'm only kidding with you. You need to loosen up a little bit because I'm not so sure you're not going to throw those in books. Listen, here is the clinch. Balanced budget. You know what that means? We finally get to the place where we can pay the interest on our debt. Doesn't mean we're getting out of debt any. We're just getting to the place that we're paying the interest on our debt. That is, we're not going more and more and more and billions and billions and billions more in debt when we're already at the place that we cannot pay even the interest on our debt. And it also means if those that are smarter than I, that I read after, are saying right, it also means that China is on the verge of controlling this country and the world trade market. Two, there is a dependency by 80% of the world's countries, there's a dependency for us to protect them. While we're unable to protect our own country from the infiltration, the flood of infiltration of terrorists. Terrorists who are coming, who are setting off bombs at races, foot races, marathons, who are bombing buildings, who are flying airplanes. And by the way, that's old stuff, you know. Flying airplanes into World Trade Centers and into the Pentagon. There's a much, much larger plot than that. This is our dilemma. I'm just trying to point out some things, very, very skimming, just skimming over it. We have an elected government. You know the Constitution says? For the people and by the people. So we have an elected government that refuses to work together to begin the healing process so badly needed. And here's the whole dilemma. We're opposed to the opposition, not dealing with the issues. Just one side against the other. Now, you know, you can be upset at me for saying this, but I want to tell you, you know, if you give it any thought at all, you know that's exactly right. We're the Republicans against the Democrats against the Republicans, and refuse to deal with the issues that have this nation in bondage. We have an educational system that in world standards, listen to me, in world standards, now I know I've been to other places. Some of you have too. In world standards, we have an educational system that is not educating our children to a standard that will cause them and enable them to be able to exist and to compete in this world. When in South Korea, those kids went to school, they went home for lunch, there was no lunchroom. They went home for lunch, went back to school, they went home for supper, dinner, and went back to school for another 3 hours. In the crusade that we were preaching there, the school gave them special permission to come to the church for their service. For they felt, now listen to me, they felt that the service at church was more important than the education they were putting out at school. Well, I want to present this sermon to you in three categories. First, there is the law. Unless you study long and hard, you will not grasp what he says in verse 1 and 2 in particular. Let every soul, hey folks, that includes you. Let every soul be subject. And that word subject is a military term in the Greek. In the common Greek, it's a military term. You know, some of these young men are just out of the military. And let me share something with you. We were down at Parris Island. Guys, you may have heard of that place. Parris Island. I don't know, South Carolina, North Carolina, one of those places. And our son was graduating from Marine recruit training. And we were walking across, I don't know what you call that place, a camp or a campus. But anyway, we were walking across there with our son. And here came a guy. And, you know, he was spit and shine. And, boy, my son popped his heels and he stiffed his back. And he gave a smart salute to that man. And that man sort of went, you know. And mom, you know, she was terribly proud of her son being in the Marines. And she thought that dude did not pay him tribute, did not show him proper respect. He ought to have saluted just as smart as our son did, don't you think? But he didn't. And it didn't make any difference because the regimentation of military said, according to our son, that's all I know about it, we didn't have to salute in the Boy Scouts. Regimentation said that a senior officer, you saluted. Now, our son learned that lesson because when he graduated down at Parris Island, we knew the chaplain who did the graduating ceremony. And we were standing there with chaplain, and our son walked up, and I introduced him, and he reached out and shook hands with that lieutenant. And about halfway time he got his hand out there, he realized he had this hadn't been right. And he stuttered and stammered and saluted and did everything else. And the chaplain said, "Son, that's quite fine. We're brothers in Christ, but don't forget to salute." You see, this subject too, there has to be order. You go back to the book of Proverbs, chapter 31 and 29, I'm sorry, and it says this. It says, where there's no vision, you know what that word means? Law and order, word from God, revelation from God. When we don't obey, and he spells out the commands here for us, when we don't obey those, people perish. Lawlessness, sin, and crime flourish. Let every soul be subject, and this is the law part of it, be subject, absolute obedience to governing authorities. Now, I don't understand. I have studied. I have looked this carefully over. But listen, folks, when I don't understand, that does not mean I do not believe the Bible. I believe the Word of God because it's the Word of God, and it has proven itself in so many facets that I can't refuse to believe it. For there is no authority except from God. So, whatever we have for president, whatever we have for Congress, whatever we have for Senate, these God knew about. These God will use when allowed to. By the way, let me throw in a footnote, at least I'll leave it off. You know who permits it? Well, you say, preacher, you just say God does. Listen, we are the avenues, the believers, the children of God, those who know God and know God's will, and those who know that our only hope, listen to me, I said I have no confidence in the Republicans. I have no confidence in the Democrats. The only hope we have is in God Almighty himself. And I want to tell you something. If you'll just stay in the book, you'll find out that God in the end comes out on top. It will not be Donald Trump. It will not be Hillary Clinton before whom you stand one day and to give account for your vote on Tuesday. Got it? It will be God. It will not be Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. It will not be Republicans. It will not be Democrats to whom you will answer to the future of the United States of America from Tuesday now. It'll be God. God is the authority. Believe that. Stand on that. So, there is here voter guides. It does not tell you to vote Republican. They do not tell you to vote Democrat. They just tell you the candidate and the position each of the candidates have in the Senate, the Congress, and in the presidency. And then you go before Almighty God. Equip yourself with the knowledge. And then you go before Almighty God and you ask God to guide you as you go into that voting booth and you vote. Why am I going to all of this trouble? Listen. Not even 50% of those in the United States of America who profess to be believers, i.e. children of God, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, go vote. Wonder what would happen if that other 50% voted. Voted their conscience. Voted exactly what God said to do. That's all I'm suggesting. You go vote. And all I'm going to do is I'm going to vote, equipping myself with as much knowledge as I can. I'm going to vote for the man. I'm not pulling a lever to Democrat or to Republican. I'm voting across. It's tough doing that. You've got to work at it. But I'm voting for the man that God leads me to vote for. Let me help you a little bit here in this area. We were at the Capitol building in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and we went there protesting pornography. Not taking it back to the table. We were there protesting abortion. And while there, the Speaker of the House stood in his place. And the Speaker of the House said, well, we have a gentleman here, a lawyer, who has asked and petitioned for his 15 minutes. And by law, we must give him his 15 minutes. And he introduced a Mennonite lawyer. And the Mennonite, and by the way, the Speaker of the House said, he thinks he can stop a superhighway from going through Pennsylvania. They were going to put that superhighway right through the middle of the Amish country in Pennsylvania. By the way, that's a lot of country. And the lawyer stood up and thanked the man for his 15 minutes. And he said, you know what? I'm going to do what very few have ever done in this house. I'm going to give most of it back to you. Now, that got his attention. He said, okay, boys. And 32 Amish boys came out and put up easels all the way across the front and walked off. 32 from the other side, Amish boys came out with little placards, you know, they were probably this big, placards, and put on those easels. And he said, you'll notice that one of these placards has your name on it, gentlemen. And it has a percentage by which you won the election. The amazing thing was, nobody had won by 5%. Nobody had won 6% or above. It was a close race, every place. Then he said, now, gentlemen, I want to bring to your attention one fact. Mennonites and Amish don't register to vote, but that's all they have to do. If they register to vote, and he said, boys, take those down, and they walked off. And to this day, on TV, on radio, in the newspaper, in all of the media, you have not heard one word about a superhighway through Lancaster, Pennsylvania. If all of the believers in Jesus Christ, that might reduce the number way down, but if all of those who, church members and say they're believers, voted, I wonder what would happen. I just wonder. Now, that's the law. The Scripture says we are to be, and by the way, let me give you just some examples real quickly. In Ezekiel 1:17, I want you to listen to me. It says that when you rebel against any authority, and you can take that as spiritual and civil, when you rebel, you are practicing the spirit of witchcraft. Now, if I wanted to get you more upset than I am, I would make this statement, but I don't want to do that. I don't make you upset. I love you. I love you. And I have the very best interest of this nation and the very best interest of this church at heart in what I'm saying here today. But I would say if I was going to say it, but I'm not going to say it, that most churches I've been around have a lot of witches in it. Now, what constitutes the spirit of witchcraft? Rebellion. Well, I don't like the Sunday school teacher. The deacons in that church are all hypocrites. Sorry about that, Scott. Or the preacher don't practice what he preaches. And all of this is to say, I'm not going to that church. I had a man tell me, I will start giving my tithe back to that church when that preacher is run off. And I was saying, God, don't cripple the preacher, you know, to keep him from running off. You see, listen, any level of rebellion in the nation, as a citizen, in the church, as a believer, any level of rebellion is practicing witchcraft. Any wonder the church is so anemic today? Any wonder she does not demonstrate the great power that is hers in Jesus Christ? Actually, we sing about our God is great. Our God is great. Our God is mighty. He is mighty. Our God is a healer. He can do it. And I'll close that argument this way. Jesus went home. Now, we know Jesus could do it. Amen? Come on. Jesus could do it, right? You know what it says? When Jesus went home, he could do no great miracles. Jesus could do no great miracles because of their unbelief. Okay? Now, that's the law part of this thing. Well, you remember Acts 4? And by the way, Acts 4 says this. Well, let me get the statement just right. The only exception, the only scriptural exception to civil obedience is when civil authority requires disobedience to God's word. Let me say it again. The only exception is when civil authority creates an exception to God's word. Now, Acts 4, I see some of you looking. I'll give you the references, 19 and 20. You know how it goes. Peter and John, those guys were out preaching. Man, they're preaching Jesus Christ. They're preaching Jesus saves. They're preaching there's only one way to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. They're preaching you go to hell if you don't go through Jesus Christ to heaven. And so they arrest them. And they haul them into court. And they said, you know, we'd like to kill you dudes. Look at it. But we'll probably get in trouble for doing that. So, then what we're going to do? We're just going to spank you real good and tell you this. Don't you ever get out on that street preaching Jesus again. Now, I used a small liberal term, spank. They beat them. They beat them for preaching Jesus. If you don't think that's coming to this country, you better go vote and get all your friends to go vote, because we're at that place right now. And this is their response. I love it. I love it. I hope we would do it. I hope and pray you would do it too. They said, now guys, whether it's right or wrong for us to listen to you more than we listen to God, you decide. But in essence, this is what it said. We cannot, listen to me, we cannot help but listen to God. Amen? I mean, what God wants me to do, I've got to do, right? What God leads, I got to lead. That's why you get on your knees before Almighty God before Tuesday and you say, God, I don't care if I stand in line 3 hours. I'm going to go vote and I want you to guide me in voting. That's the law. Now, let's deal with another part of this story. Changes. This change. I called that to your attention when we were reading through it. And I'll go fast. To love. Verse 9 and 10. Look there with me, please. Owe no one anything except to love one another. Now, let me make a statement. I want you to hear me, so Ninjai, listen, when you are loving, you are more like God than you are any other time except. You mean, preacher, there's a time when I could be more like God than when I'm loving someone? Now, you do know this. The Bible describes the personality and the character of God as God is love. Let me say to you, folks, God loves you. Now, I've kind of caught some reflections this morning. I don't care what you're feeling in your heart. It can be bitterness. It can be anger. It can be appreciation. I don't care. God loves you. You know what he tells you? You love one another. Love one another. Oh, my. What a difference this world would be. What a difference this nation would be. Hang on. What a difference this church would be if we just loved one another. And You see, you won't rebel when you love one another. There's a whole lot more I could say in here, but I want you to go with me, please, to 1 Corinthians, and let's take a couple of minutes to read what 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I should have had this marked, and I don't have it marked. Ephesians, Corinthians, there we go. Okay, I think there we go. Are you having as much problem as I am? I'm having a lot of fun. There we go. Okay. I get out of 2 Corinthians. I get myself messed up there most times. I'm getting there, folks. Just believe me, I'm getting there. Okay. This says a whole lot about us. Brags on us extensively. Listen, it's bragging on you. Listen to it. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. By the way, are you cognizant of the fact that the Bible says if you have faith, you can move mountains? Yeah, but preacher, I never saw it. Me either. That is a mountain of dirt. But if you look, you'll see mountains of obstacles. You'll see a mountain of life's behavior changed. You listen, folks, there's no greater miracle. Hang with me just for a second. There's no greater miracle than the miracle of seeing God Almighty through Jesus Christ wash the blood of a sinner away and cover him in the blood of Christ and change that man to a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's what happens when you get saved. We're new creatures. Old things are gone. They're passed away. All things become new to us. Okay. So you can move a mountain, he says here. But have not love, don't do a bit of good. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but I have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, and it thinks, listen to me, thinks no evil. Listen. You hear it? You hear what you're thinking? Oh my. Sometimes God pulls me up so short and says, hey man, what you doing thinking that? Well, let's go on. Thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. This is love now. Endures all things. No wonder he says love one another. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they'll fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect, by the way, has it come yet? That which is perfect, has it come yet? Sure it has. Jesus. You'll find no flaw in him. You'll find no flaw. The more you examine Jesus, and you ought to do that, if he's the only way to heaven, if he's the only way to God Almighty, he's the only way to an eternal life, you ought to look at it carefully and closely. Yes, he's perfect. Yes. You'll find no flaw in him. Then that which is in part will be done away. The law got fulfilled. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I became an adult. For now we see a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know just as I'm also known. Now abides hope, faith. That last word, charity, is love. That's love. Faith, hope. And the greatest of those three, faith and hope, is love. Okay. Now, there's one other area, And I just want you to be aware of it. Look at verses 11 through 14 with me, please. And that is the laying aside. And by the way, if it rebelled, rose up in you, if it reviled in you today, you know why I did it? Watch. I want to call that to your attention. Now, I can't even find 13. Here it is. Okay. And beginning with verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a child, I became a man. I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. How does God know you? Are you aware? Every thought you've had in your head today, God knew. Every feeling you had in your heart today, God knew. Every purpose you made in your soul today, God knew it. God doesn't need that any man should testify of a man. He knows what's in the heart of a man. Be careful. Okay. I shall know just as I am known, and now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. First of all, you put off the world. And by the way, a lot of that you have to do. I wish I had time. Well, I do have time, but I'm not going to take it. Because it would take from the direction this sermon, and the purpose of this sermon has been to encourage you to ask God Almighty on Tuesday how you're going to vote. And vote not by what you've always voted or what you can vote, but vote what God tells you to vote. And listen to me. I will agree, most of you will have a hard, hard time. You'll have a struggle determining, what does God want me to vote? It won't be like this. A young man was plowing corn for his father's farm, and he took a rest at the turn row. Laid down on his back after drinking some water, looked up, and the clouds had explicitly clear. G.P. And he grabbed the reins of the mules and headed for the barn. Halfway to the barn, he met his dad. His dad said, "Where are you going, son?" He said, "Dad, I was plowing. I looked up in the sky, and the clouds said, GP, go preach." And the dad said, "No, son, I said, get to plowing." He said, "God won't write you, he won't write you a sign in the sky. But if you listen to him down in the uttermost parts, the secret parts of your heart and soul, he'll tell you. You just study, make yourself aware of what's available. He'll tell you." Okay. You put off the old way of doing things. And then you put on Christ Jesus. Put on. And right there at the end, I got to go back, where was I? In Romans 13. That's right back here to the left. And look at the last statement in Romans 13. You should love your neighbors as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. He comes down in 14. But put on, after saying the same thing, love is the fulfillment of the law. Put on Christ Jesus, the Lord Jesus, and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Folks, I brought this message today because it has been burning in my soul for some time now. It is a conviction of my heart, and that's all I can say about it. I've done what God wants me to do, and I feel at peace about it. I feel that I have obeyed God. I will go. And between now, by the way, I want to advocate to you. between now and Tuesday morning, I'm going to fast. I'm going to ask God all day tomorrow and all night Monday night, I'm going to ask God to give direction that I will do His will and His bidding. That's all I can do. And when I do that, I want you to know whoever gets elected president, I will pray for daily. I want you to know that I will ask God to guide and direct whomever leads our government in the Senate and in the Congress. We must do that. But first of all, we must do what God has asked us to do and do it in His will. Would you stand together? We have an invitation song. It is "Just As I Am Without One Plea." But that Christ's blood was shed for me, and that He bids me come to thee.